Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is none other than the Division of Agriculture Director, Arthur Keyes. Good morning, Arthur, and welcome for thank you for being here.
Good morning, Amy.
I'm a little tired this morning. I'm not sure if that shows on my face. I've got a great face for radio this morning, but I have a couple announcements before we jump into questions with you. First, I want to remind listeners that the amazing Alaska State Fair starts tomorrow. Farmland Trust will be at the fair all 12 glorious days. We have a booth right outside the Crops Barn. We have an amazing raffle this year where you have the opportunity, three chances to win. First prize is 30 pounds of bison meat. Kind of amazing, incredible value. Second prize is a year's worth of Alaska-grown potatoes. Also an incredible value. And third prize is an all Alaska-grown gift basket with a bunch of value-added products, canned goods, etc. So stop by the Farmland Trust booth, buy a t-shirt, a hat, a raffle ticket, etc. Also, we have another opportunity to drink beer and save farms at the fair this year, right? We can't get enough of these. Next Friday night, August 31st, the Super Saturated Sugar Strings will be playing music in the events tent outside the Crops Barn on the
They're
other
amazing.
Side.
I gotta
they
say,
are amazing, right?
Amazing.
Local band with local guys and gals. I love them too. And they're playing music for the benefit of Farmland Trust from, I think the doors open at 7 and music's going to start at 8 p.m. And $1 per every beer bought at the event will be donated from the fair to Alaska Farmland Trust. So you can drink beer and save farms again at the fair. Super exciting. We're
like
super
fun.
Stoked about
Sounds
that.
Like
yeah, we're excited. It's going to be a fun night, great music, great beer. The fair is working with brewers from around South Central to highlight beers that have sourced local ingredients. So there's a lot of development in that segment of industry. Maybe we'll chat about that, Arthur. But yeah, drink beer, save farms with us next Friday night at the fair. So I think that's all
is
I
that
need
the
to
first?
Say. The 31st.
31st.
Friday night, the 31st. Last Friday of the fair. Yep. Super saturated sugar string. So I also want to let folks know that the telephone line is open this morning. If you have a question for Director Keyes, you can reach us at 745-8900. And we'll be here for the next half hour chatting about updates at the Division of Ag and all that's going on in the industry, et cetera. So again, Arthur, welcome. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
But I have to just kind of wonder what you just said. The phone lines are open, but if they had a question for Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust, wouldn't that be appropriate?
Sure, absolutely. I can take questions.
Yeah.
I can be put on the spot.
Right.
That reminds me, I need to silence my phone in case any questions come in that route. But yeah, questions, we appreciate questions. You know, we get a lot of questions about Farmland Trust. We get a lot of questions about what is Drink Beer Safe Farms. So I'm going to put you on the spot, Arthur.
Oh, no.
What is Drink Beer Safe Farms? When you see that shirt or see that hat, because I just mentioned it, it's coming up. We have this event next Friday night. What does that mean to you, Drink Beer Safe Farms?
You know, what it means to me is it's fun.
Oh,
you know,
fun.
It's,
yes,
it's,
good.
It's making farming fun. And, you know, it's a good cause. And so while it's being fun, that's great. You know, what's that really mean? It's also raising awareness.
Yeah.
You know, it's catching people's eye. It's something you can... You can run around and talk about, you know, we just say farmland, and I think a lot of people, you know, who has the bandwidth for that? I mean, we live busy lives.
Yeah.
And I think when you see that shirt, Drink Beer, Save Farms, I think it just stops and goes, what did I just read? I just
right.
Stop.
What does that mean?
You know, I saw a funny hunting shirt the other day, and so, you know, I just kind of glanced by, a guy was wearing it, and he walks by me, and I glanced at it, you know, and I was like, oh, that didn't make any sense to me. And honestly, my first, you know, and so I hadn't dedicated any bandwidth to it, and I had to go, like, focus in on this guy's funny hunting shirt until I could understand it. And I think Drink Beer Safe Farms is kind of like that. You
Absolutely.
Know? It's certainly, you know, not, you know, we don't need everybody to drink beer every single day.
Right.
But raising awareness, I think, about farmland, the importance of it, is just so incredibly important.
Yeah. Well, we started that. Our first event was in 2016, June of 2016, and came up with that line, put it on a T-shirt. I think at that first event, I sold out of every T-shirt that I made. I think it was like $5,000 worth of T-shirts in one day. It was just bananas, and I kind of went, "Wow, this really resonates with people." In that, since that time, in the 2.5 years since then, what I have found is that it is a little bit of a showstopper in that people don't get it right away. They don't understand what it means, but they pause and ask, and that opens the door for us to fill in that void and explain to them what Farmland Trusts, why we do what we do, et cetera. So, cool. Thanks for answering that question. We've got actually local writer Barb Hunt is kind of working on a story, a behind-the-scenes story about Drink Beer, Save Farms and the bigger picture and the bigger impact that that effort has. So I'm excited to see that come out hopefully next week. But let's jump into the Division of Ag and what you guys are doing and what's been happening at the Division of Ag since you were on the show last, which is typically about 3 months ago. So what do you have to tell us about? What's new?
Well, the fair starts on tomorrow.
Yes. We're all so excited. So excited about the fair. It's the best time of year.
Yeah, when the fair starts, that's pretty much all hands on deck.
Yeah.
And, we do have the Alaska Grown. There's an Alaska Grown discount day there, I think on the 30th.
On the 30th, next Thursday.
And I think a significant portion of the staff will actually be manning the booth, trying to raise awareness about local Alaskan agriculture.
Yeah.
And so the fair, the fair is the big thing right now. I think all hands on deck.
Tomorrow you have a legislative farm tour, right? Tomorrow staff from your office are touring some legislators around. I think I'm excited about it because one of their stops is going to be one of our protected properties, and I get the opportunity to remind those folks about the importance of Farmland Trust.
So are you on the tour then? Are you?
Well, I'm not sure I will be able to join you guys for the whole tour because I'll be busy at prepping our booth for the fair, but I'm definitely going to be there first thing in the morning, and I think the Farmland Trust property is your first stop. So.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
I've been made aware of the itinerary, but there's certainly more than one thing upon my plate at the moment. So it's hard to remember every detail.
Yeah.
So.
And then we'll culminate tomorrow evening at the Board of Directors reception at the State Fair where the
Farm Family of the Year
2018 Farm Family of the Year will be recognized.
And it's right now we're on schedule to have Donna Walker. First Lady Donna Walker at that event
and
present the award to the family.
Yeah.
Super
I think it's public knowledge, so we can go ahead and announce that it's Brian and Lori Olson of Alaska Berries down in Soldotna, which I have to just say that I have nominated that family for the award a couple of times. I think they're very deserving, and I was super excited to see them selected this year. They're huge supporters of Alaska Farmland Trust. They're huge supporters of Alaska Grown. They do all the things right, and it's incredible. It's an incredible honor, and it's very well deserved for that family to be recognized.
You took me there to their operation, I think in 2015. You'd been bragging about them.
Yeah.
You've got to meet these people. Berries to die. At the time, I was a strawberry grower.
Right.
And they're Alaska Berries, and they're growing this wine. They're making wine.
Yeah, they're making wine, the only all Alaska-grown wine in the state.
I think we were doing a presentation to the Kenai Soil
and
Water.
Yep, and the farmers market group down there.
There you go. And so you introduced me to Brian and Lori, and they're a beautiful, clean operation. Absolutely stunning.
Right.
So I'm super excited to see that they won.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, it is. And it's 2018, which means this is the 19th family to have been honored with this Farm Family of the Year. That's kind of a partnership between the State Fair and the Division of Ag, and there's some other players involved. But it's to honor a family that produces high-quality Alaska-grown, involved in the community, and just kind of sets the stage for the industry, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, just a quick reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit. Joining me in the studio this morning is Division of Agriculture Director Arthur Keyes. And the phone lines are open. If you have a question for either Arthur or I, you can reach us at 745-8900 for the next 20 minutes. We're on the air until 8 a.m. So, Arthur, I am coming up on 2 years on this show, of these Ag Matters shows. And you've been on the show a number of times since you've been – I mean, you were the director before I started the show, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. But I guess I was just kind of thinking, it's how long exactly has it been now that you've been Division of Ag Director? Two calendar years, two and a half, almost three?
2 years and 6 months. And I think
13 days and 7 hours.
I think it's like 6 days.
Okay. Yeah.
What's so, today? Today? Today's 23rd?
No, 22nd. 22nd.
It's been 2 years, 6 months, and 5 days.
That's funny that you know exactly. So in that time, you've accomplished a lot over the Division of Ag. Your staff has had some amazing accomplishments and really pushed the ball a little bit farther. What do you want to talk about, like some top threes? Or I know you probably have a list of things you want to cover this morning, but what are some of the things that you want to highlight that have happened in the last 2.5 years?
I think moving McKinley Meat and Sausage into the private sector.
Yeah. Yep.
It's probably one of the biggest accomplishments.
Yep.
I think that's something that's been tried. They've been trying it for over a decade, and at one point in time offered it for sale for $2, $5, something like that. And they couldn't get a taker. Couldn't get anybody to buy it. And, I think everything came together, and we made it happen on a wing and a prayer.
Right.
And you know, it's been in the private sector now for over a year.
Yeah.
And successfully operating. And I was there, 2 weeks ago? I was over there, and the place is beautiful. It's clean. There's some infrastructure improvements that have happened.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's packed in that I was at a storage unit next door to the meat plant the other day, and I heard a lot of animals.
Like 75 cows when I was there. Yeah.
That's incredible.
It is. You know,
that's a lot of animals.
When it was state run, you know, I had the privilege of being the director, and having that facility as, you know, one of my responsibilities. Yeah. And I never had 75 cows there in the holding pens.
No.
When I was the director.
No.
And so it's, I think it's a testament to, you know, what they've accomplished over there. And,
yeah.
And I'm super, super excited to go see that. The governor actually was there and visited the facility.
Nice.
2 weeks ago. And he signed SB 163, which is, I could not be more excited about that bill. Now, it's actually a Department of Transportation bill.
Right.
But it's all about farming.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that maybe not know, and so for those that do know, the farmers have the option of getting farm plates on their farm trucks.
Right.
And but the technically the rules state that or it did state that you could only travel up to 150 miles away from your farm.
Okay.
And so that's a big problem because
That doesn't get you very far.
It doesn't get you very far in Alaska, and that's been that way for decades, and it caused a lot of confusion with DOT, with farm, with everybody.
Sure.
And more than one farmer told me, I'm just going to drive. I'll drive, you know, wherever I need to.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at it, McKinley Meat and Sausage is right here in Palmer. It's 250 miles from Delta. It's 250 miles from Homer.
Sure.
You know, roughly. And so a farmer from Homer that's hauling up their livestock for, processing here in McKinley Meats, if they drove their farm truck, would be in violation of the rules.
Okay.
And same thing for Delta if they came down.
Yeah.
And, you know, the farmers that I talked to about it were like, I'll just do it. I'll do it anyway. And, you know, the reality is
that's
farmers shouldn't have to break the law to operate their business.
Yeah.
And so this law, SB 163, changed it. Governor signed that 2 weeks ago.
Very good.
Made it so that statewide, if you have farm plates in your truck, you can now drive the entire state,
which
is just, that's exciting to me because, you know, I before I was director, I have six farm trucks that are going all over the place.
Yeah.
And this is just a great move.
Yeah.
Better government.
Right. Well, and on that, I was thinking about the 75 head of cattle at the meat plant. I had Scott Muggeridge on the show a couple of weeks ago, and a great interview about his operation, he and his family's operation up there. And it's still resonating with me that he mentioned that last winter he fed out 850 head of cattle all winter.
Wow.
Which is huge. That's a lot of animals. And next week on the show, I have a couple of guests from Denali Meat Company from one of the other
I love those guys.
Yeah, one of the other slaughter facilities in town. So, and Mount McKinley Meat and Sausage has been on the schedule a couple of times, and we've had to reschedule that. So hopefully I'll get them back on the show to give us an update about how their year has been. But there's a lot of growth in that segment of industry, right? Livestock.
Yeah.
And I think we've talked about this before. It's kind of an anchor. It's an anchor to the industry. When the livestock industry is doing good, the feed industry is doing good. And when the feed industry is doing good, then other segments are doing good. The equipment industry, et cetera, right? So,
and believe this or not, we have a loan program, the ARLF here at the Division of Agriculture, Agriculture Revolving Loan Fund. And last week I spoke with Amanda, the manager of that program, and she's got more loans than she's ever seen. Yeah. And she just came to me. She was like, yeah, it's just crazy.
More loan applications.
More loan applications than she's ever seen. And the board will be meeting on August 30th to talk about those loan applications. But the way I see it, providing that stability of having this USDA slaughter facility as an assured thing. you know, not up to, you know, potentially closing because it's losing money and the state can't afford to lose the money anymore.
Sure.
I think it's provided stability to the industry and allowed people to invest at least a certain portion of the insecurity of investing.
Absolutely.
In Alaskan livestock production has been removed. And I think we're seeing more investment because of it. So yeah. I'm really – that's just – it's just phenomenal to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Super
agreed.
Excited. Yeah. Very privileged.
Yeah. It's a cool – it's a good time to be involved in agriculture in Alaska. Speaking of that, we always want to talk about Alaska Grown in general. And you guys are running the Alaska Grown Challenge again this year.
The $5 challenge.
The $5 challenge, mm-hmm. right? And you know – oh, I should have – I meant to screenshot it. Yesterday, I got a Facebook reminder from – it was either eight years ago. Anyway, where at when I was an employee at the Division of Agriculture, we had launched the Eat Local Challenge. And we at that particular year, we were highlighting a handful of restaurants in Anchorage mm-hmm. that because this was before restaurant rewards or kind of any of those programs. But we were doing the Eat Local Challenge and I had shared it on my personal Facebook page, like reminding people to eat local. And it's incredible to see the momentum behind that movement now and in the grocery stores, you know, the displays that you're seeing and the yeah. I mean, I'm seeing like Alaska Grown helium balloons and all this kind of crazy stuff all over the place yeah. highlighting Alaska Grown. It's really incredible.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Yeah. I saw some Facebook posts about someone. I saw someone that said, I never knew I could get Alaska Grown in Walmart. I've never wanted to shop at Walmart, but now that I know that they source local, I'm willing to shop there. And in my mind, I thought, well, Walmart's been buying Alaska Grown for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, they've been good supporters of our local farmers. But something like this challenge, where then the stores are putting up more signage and making a bigger deal out of it, brings more awareness to more people about local food.
I was recently. I was at a director's meeting from a national meeting.
Okay.
And this came up. You know, the organic movement is
sure.
it's a thing that's been going on for probably 20 years, and you know it is what it is, and it's raising awareness on quality and healthy food. And one of the commissioners, I believe, of agriculture from the states came up and did a little presentation. And he said, you know, do you know what the number one thing is that's important to consumers on their fresh vegetables? And organic is typically, you know, the number one thing. And he said, it's local. He said local outranks organic nationally right now of importance to consumers.
Yeah.
Is this a local product? If you think about sustainability, you know, that's a key goal. I mean, why do we want to not have plastic bags? Why do we want to
sure.
do things that are wise for our environment?
Yeah.
And, you know, we all want to eat sustainably. That is a goal for a very large segment of the population.
I agree.
And if your food is sourced from a foreign country, it's not sustainable. I don't care what growing method, what label you put on it. It is not sustainable. Sustainability, the foundation of that is it's got to be local.
Yeah.
At least within a certain parameter.
Sure. I agree. So. I saw, again, I'm pretty tuned into social media, and I saw a post on one of the big ag pages that I follow where in New York on the clamshells of salad mixes, the New York Growers Association or some New York farming industry is putting stickers on the clamshells of local lettuce that says, don't let California feed us.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, right, but the California growers aren't very excited about it. This was a national page where then the California growers were saying, come on, you need us too, you know, but the New York growers are saying, you know, they want people to buy New York, right?
Here's the thing. We do need California growers.
Sure,
we need
all
growers
do.
All over the country.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're our brothers.
Yeah.
But
we're
same
all in
time,
this together.
We are all in this together. But at the same time, if there is a product that I can produce here in Alaska that is far superior in taste, disease pressure, you name it, it's
yeah.
just flat out superior, why are you importing it?
Yeah.
Why am I having to compete with an imported product?
Absolutely.
Alaskan carrots, the flavor profile is off the charts.
Right.
The disease pressure here in Alaska for Alaska carrots is zero to none.
Right.
And yet the largest growing region for carrots is just north of the Mexican border in California.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of your carrots are coming from.
Absolutely.
And they don't have the flavor. They don't taste as good. They have to get shipped 3,000 miles to get here.
Right.
Why are we shipping them here?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, a great question. And another reminder to listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is Amy Pettit, your host of Ag Matters Radio. And joining me in the studio this morning is Division of Ag Director Arthur Keyes. And we're just chatting about Alaska Grown and all the things. And you have the opportunity for the next 7 or 8 minutes to call in with questions if you have them. 745-8900 for questions for either Arthur or I. You know, strong point, we should... You know, should we be importing foods into Alaska that can be produced here? Obviously, something that's on a lot of our minds as the, you know, as the director of Farmland Trust, my goal is to grow this industry, right? And to maintain agricultural lands that can produce food, right?
Yep.
And so would you say, are we there yet? Do we have a product that we are currently producing at a scale that we could feed, that we could fulfill the entire state's need?
No.
So what does that mean? Potential. It means potential in my mind, right?
Let's look at this. You said Scott Muggeridge is feeding...
This winter he said 850 animals on this farm.
What did that do to the grain industry in Delta?
Yeah. Well, he said it. His barley producer didn't have enough grain for him.
So that's just cattle.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about chickens.
Okay.
You know, what can we do here?
Yeah.
You know, you have Rochelle Plummer. You've had her on the show, I believe.
Yep.
She's doing a phenomenal job with the poultry side of
Matt
things.
Matsu Farm Co-op. Yeah.
And, you know, so this isn't like, can we feed everybody and hit 100%, nail 100%? Nope.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
But we can do better.
Absolutely.
And when we do better, it's going to impact all segments of the agriculture industry. The grain production, I was up in Delta, and, Bob Green, he has a pellet mill up there, so he's creating animal feed.
Yep.
Like from... I mean, they're growing the barley, they're growing all the grains, and they're pelletizing it and turning it into chicken feed. And then he's feeding the entire state. He's driving his semi load of, it's a 40-foot semi.
Absolutely.
Full of bagged and pelleted chicken feed. He's driving all over the state. And he talked to me, and he's like, oh, we might run out of barley here on this farm, too, for all the chickens.
Wow.
So when I talk about carrots, that's just one example.
Yeah.
Let's talk about chickens.
Yeah.
Let's talk about pork.
Right.
You know, fresh pork versus old pork.
Yeah.
You know, you can't... You can't make that stuff up.
No,
man.
No.
Fresh bacon?
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Bacon.
Yeah.
Bacon. Yeah. And, you know, you see, again, on social media and where people are asking for input from other folks, I just saw last night someone was saying that they were looking for elk meat, Alaska-grown elk meat, and that they had typically shopped at Matt Valley Meats or Butcher Block Number 9, and I'm not, you know, this is... on the internet, so I don't know if it's true, but this person had...
It's on the internet, Amy. It must be true.
They had indicated
truth lives there.
They had indicated that Matt Valley Meats was currently out of elk meat, and this person was desperate. They just wanted nothing more than Alaska-grown elk meat, you know? And it was neat to see all of the people providing feedback of, well, if you can't get Alaska-grown elk meat, you can get Alaska-grown bison here, or you can get, you know, farm-raised, hormone-free beef here, and just, it's so fun to see that consumers are seeking it and producers are providing it. And there's so much momentum behind this industry right now and growth in the industry.
So I'll tell you a fun little story.
Yeah.
Cleaning up the Division of Ag office. And, the Division of Agriculture was the Department of Agriculture up until 1962.
Hot topic.
It is. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. It's a very interesting topic. But they produced a newsletter from, I'm thinking, early, mid-40s.
Okay.
Up until the 60s at least. And so cleaning up the office, I came across a newsletter from 1946 that they had produced.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not good at math, but that was a long time ago.
It was. Alaska Department of Agriculture.
Okay.
And so I'm like, wow, this is totally interesting. And so I flipped through it. And in 1946, there was a strike. And in this newsletter, it talks about all the poultry farmers in Alaska having to slaughter their birds.
What?
Yep. In 1946, we had apparently a lot. I haven't seen the stats from back then, but there was a significant number of poultry farmers. When the strike happened in the lower 48, the grain to feed these birds quit coming, and they had to slaughter their flocks.
Wow.
Wipe them out.
Interesting.
It is, because I want to see the numbers and how many birds are actually here, but it's enough that they actually talked about having to slaughter them. And the takeaway from that, in that report, was that Alaska needs to produce more grain, so we're not as dependent on lower 48 in a situation where the dock workers go on strike and we can't feed our...
Evidence of what we talk about all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do we need more farmers in Alaska?
At the same time that this was happening, they had... a world food shortage. And it references it in this a separate article in this newsletter. And it talks about emergency flour. And I've never heard of emergency flour before, but it gives instructions on how to use emergency flour. It's not quite as grind, quite
as ground is fine.
And they reference the world food shortage. So what you're going to see on the store shelves now is this emergency flour because of the world food shortage in 1946.
Huh.
So some of the same issues that we're talking about today were impactful, you know. Let's just leave the math out of it quite a while ago. Those issues were relevant then. They're relevant now. We can do this.
Yeah.
And I'm just jazzed to be a part of it.
Yeah. Again, incredible opportunity. When we talk about the $5 challenge, which again is challenging Alaskans to source at least $5 a week of Alaska-grown products, which it's incredibly easy to do right now. There's like 50 farmers markets across the state and grocery stores, you know, that support local. And I mean, it's so easy to source $5 a week, but that would have a $187-88 million impact. And then you kind of immediately go, well, our ag industry isn't that big yet. And when we created that infographic years ago with Ken Meter's numbers, give credit to Ken Meter on that. That was people's immediate response. Well, $188 million, there isn't that much Alaska grown, you know, product in the state. And my response was, yeah. But that's just opportunity.
Yeah.
That just says that at the time we surveyed Alaska grown producers, and I think it was 67 or 68% said that they had the space and capacity to increase production if they knew the market was there.
Right.
So I wonder what those, I'd be curious to see what, you know, how many growers have grown their capacity or have increased production since that time, because I mean, there's been a lot of growth in the industry in the last 5 years.
850 cattle at Muggeridge's farm is a testament.
Yeah.
And then going to the meat plant 2 weeks ago and there's 75 head of cattle.
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
And a second USDA slaughter facility in the region.
And a second, yeah, less than 20 miles away, there's a brand new USDA slaughter facility.
Yeah. We'll get them
just,
on the show next
just
week
opened
to learn
up.
More. Yeah.
So if you want to be a producer, now's the time.
Yeah.
Whether it's pork or it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Vegetables. Or
right.
Livestock.
I just saw a local restaurant here in Palmer. There's new owners of the Colony Inn.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they were posting on social media asking how could they source more Alaska grown? Who had this? Who had that? And what were the prices? And so interest
well,
is there.
I think the Division of Ag needs to talk with them because we can help.
Right. The Restaurant Rewards
restaurant
app.
Reward.
Is that what it's still? Is
yeah.
it still called Restaurant Rewards?
Yeah.
The app?
It's the app. Yeah.
Yeah. So I could open up my phone right now and see, because I have the app, of course, and I could see what restaurants in the vicinity are sourcing Alaska grown, which is super cool.
Yeah.
At my fingertips.
Actual map of like, you know, my wife and I go on vacation and we always look for local food, local
Absolutely.
Restaurants, local
yeah.
experiences, local farms. And to have an app like that where we went on vacation, we'd use it. I think that would be our vacation.
Yeah. Taste Alaska grown. And I'm zooming into Palmer here because
you know, that was created by one of our staffers.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's
Jennifer Castro created that.
Yeah. It's incredible. Arthur.
Amy.
Thank you for getting up early and joining me on Ag Matters Radio this morning. I'm not sure we touched on all the subjects because we just started, you know, chatting away about Alaska grown, but I think we covered some of the positives and the good stuff that's going on. So thanks again for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Right.
Alaska State Fair tomorrow.
Yeah. Wear your Alaska grown shirt on August 30th for a $2 discount
$2
at the
off.
Gate.
Yep. Yeah, $2 off.
Cool. All right. Cheers.
Thanks, Amy.
Listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.